Well, we're going to win tonight. We're back, you know, the keys to the move of God. Especially getting into this covenant thing is one of the things the Lord wanted me to talk about tonight, about covenant, because covenant is such a huge, powerful thing. And we've been looking at it. There's, when we look at it, especially as being covenant people, and what I want you to understand tonight, because looking into these things with the covenant, when we started this off dealing with the covenant, we looked at being redeemed from the curse of the law. And we want to, tonight we're going to talk about that. And we're going to use an illustration as we can see it. We're going to go over to the book of Numbers tonight. We're going to look at this story of Balaam. And one of the things is looking over time. I know I've taught, you know, things concerning Balaam before a long time ago. But it is an interesting story. And lots of times, you know, we need to pray and ask God to reveal to us things from these things. People sometimes know stories, and like, you know, they talk about Balaam and they talk about the donkey talking and all this kind of thing. But lots of times, that's the big things that people remember about it and really don't have the revelation. In other words, why would God put something in the Word? He doesn't put things in that are insignificant. In other words, they have meaning to us. They're not just good stories. It's like David and Goliath. You know, we've been told about the David and Goliath story. The average Christian, probably 95% of them, they think it's, well, you know, David just had anointing God and he went out and did this. But you take it, you read, David's success was in his confession. What he said. If Christians got that revelation, that story had helped their life. Because most Christians think, yeah, we can't do that what David did. You know, this is just a nice story. Well, we want to look at this Balaam, this story of this guy. And one of the things is actually entering into this story. You can go over there at Numbers. We're going to look into the 22nd chapter. But I want to read some things to you about this, what Peter said, spoke about Balaam. Balaam was a guy because Peter tells us something concerning him. Is 2 Peter, the second chapter in verse 15 and 16, I'm going to read that to you. Peter wrote in 2 Peter about people in the end times, about ones, what they're going to be, the trouble they're going to be, and that stuff with teachers and everything. He says this, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. He said, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Balaam was a prophet. Now, let's say going into this story that we would understand. I want us to understand something here about Balaam. We have this idea because God gave us a book, and in this book, the basis of it is this covenant people that he set aside, that he started through Abraham, and really from our standpoint, giving this to us. But there were people in the earth. There was a guy who was before Abraham, and his name was Melchizedek. And if you read in Hebrews, it said, this guy was the priest of God Almighty. So there were God's priests in the earth. Aaron and them weren't the first priests. The first prophets weren't out these guys that we think. We need to understand this. God was working in the earth and doing things. If we, you know, looked in there, you know, this is what people, one of the things is, you know, whether people understand it, Noah was a prophet of his time. Mm-hmm. He tells us he was a preacher, but you know what? If you go look through there, prophets sometimes, we don't have much today in this area, the prophets. But in the Old Covenant, sometimes certain prophets were used by things that they did to illustrate. They did things. God had them do some weird things and had them do stuff. If you go back and read the prophets, things that he had them do. Like he had one prophet, he took his sash and go hide it under a rock somewhere and put it in a thing, and you get out, it gets all filthy. He told him to do that. Then he took that filthy thing and he used it as an illustration of people, how they got dirty. God would do that. Well, we had a prophet. He's out there preaching. God has him build a boat.
Yeah.
You see, God does things like this. See, God had people in the earth working. Israel ain't the first group. It ain't the first ones he had. And God had anointed people in the earth. And so when we look at this Balaam, I've heard ministers saying, well, you know, Balaam, he was a false prophet. I'm going to start his story. He's talking to God. God's talking back to him. I mean, I don't think that you go out today and find, you know, any demonic guy out here who calls himself a prophet. Him and God are talking to each other. I don't. And God's given him words to say. So we need to understand, this is God moving in this thing concerning this man. What's God trying to tell us about things here? What God's trying to speak something to us, and what do we need to understand about this story? Well, one of the things you understand about it, if you really get a revelation of this story, it's about a covenant people. And God, how God takes care of covenant people. It's what it's about. You probably never heard it taught like that. This is just, you know, the children of Israel, and God's just looking after them. This is all about covenant. It's about covenant, and we understand this. That's why we're redeemed from the curse of the law. God gave us a covenant, and we're in this covenant. Is Israel had a covenant? This is why it's called Israel, because it was God's special people. That time in the earth, that's who they were. They had a special covenant with God that others didn't. God would look after them in things that he would not look after other people in. This is the church of Jesus Christ. We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. The church doesn't live up to that at all. They don't think themselves about that being that at all. Right. You know? We're just like everybody. No, we're a nation of people. We're a special nation. Just like Israel. 90% of the church would worship Israel. Oh, God, he's God's covenant people. I'm going to tell you, I'm God's kid.
Amen.
Under a covenant with God that is better than any covenant Israel ever had. And so we need to get these thoughts in us, because these are keys to the move of God. God cannot move through us any more than we can walk in faith with him. What we will allow him, what we would believe him to do. And understand. So this is what we have to understand, covenant. And we'll find out in this story as we look at the story of Balaam. Now, the story of Balaam in Numbers is three chapters. It's 22, 23, and 24. We have certain segments we're going to look at here. I'm going to start off in reading in the beginning of 22. We're going to read through here. It says that the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now, Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are sitting next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Now he says this. So this guy, there's an area of authority. And but we need to know this, and have talked about this before. You can misuse authority.
Yeah.
People in anointing, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, you can't misuse a gift of God." Well, I wish, you know, somebody with half a brain would figure out that ain't working. You can misuse things. We need to understand the authority. You know, I just want to say this. There can be a person who doesn't really have much of authority. But if people fear them when they say things and believe things that they say, if you believe them and you fear them, don't be surprised. That works on you. Don't be surprised. See, you got to watch what you believe and people say and all this stuff. So, This guy, he gives curse. So it says, verse 7, it says, so the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with diviner's fees in their hand, and they came to Balaam, spoke to him words from Balak. So they got some bucks together. We're going to pay this guy to do something. Well, we found out in red, you know, this guy liked money. So he is a minister like money. It isn't like we ain't got him today. You give me enough bucks and I'll say what you want. So they must have dealt with him before. They know when this works. He said to them, lodge here tonight. He said, I will bring back word to you. As the Lord speaks to me, so the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Said, then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Now to understand, God knew who was there. He's getting the guy to say about what's going on. And so Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I'll be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people for what? They are blessed. They are blessed. Now he says they're blessed. And this story is going to build as we go on. These people are blessed of God. Now see, we have a covenant. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place. See, we need to see it. The people who's ever under the covenant, we looked at people in covenant. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Isaac. We looked at Jacob. Anybody under the covenants are what? Blessed. Even when people mess up and do it, they stand in a place of blessing and what God did. So, God blesses. Well, what I want to do is we're going to jump down. These guys came and God said, don't go with them. Well, these guys picked up their money and went home, but you know what? They ain't going to quit. You know, I bet if we go back with more money, geez, we just need, everybody's got a price. Well, it says, so they went back through. And anyhow, they came to him. Let me see this down here. I'll make sure I get, okay. And let me just say a little bit what goes on. So this guy, anyhow, they came back again, and coming back to him, he turns around and God says to him, and as if he comes back and they come back again with money. Now God said, don't go. Now, so they come back the second time and they have more money. God says to him, now you go ahead and go. Go ahead and go. Cause see, he comes and asks God again a second time. Now see, a lot of people say, God was in favor of that. No, he wasn't. Just like with Israel. Israel wanted a king. God said no. They said, we want a king. He said, go ahead. And you know what happened? They got in big trouble. And we're going to find out Balaam gets in trouble. Balaam gets himself in trouble. He went there. Why would you go ask God again? God already told him no. See, and he comes back. You don't want to say something? Understand that. If God tells you no, don't go and praying again and trying to get him to change his mind. He might tell you to do it. And it might cost you very dearly. So things, I'm just telling you, to learn. I can tell you, because see, I told God, you know, told me some stuff, and I told him, I talk about the thing, when God spoke to me, the next time he spoke to me, he wasn't happy. That's why I said, you know, the thing, and it sounded like his voice thundered. He was mad. He told me no, and I went back again. I already knew the answer was no. See, he protected me from me. So if God tells you no about something, you know it, it's no. Number one, you're not going to change God because you keep whining and you want it changed. That is, you can fast and pray till you weigh two pounds. It don't matter. You can do it because why? God never changes. And if he tells you go ahead after all of that, that means you're going to probably weigh 2 ounces till this is over. You'll be dust in the earth. Well, So Balaam gets the guys and he's going to go now. He's going to go. Well, we have the incident with the donkey, and we want to look at this because we're going to find out some certain things are said. In verse 31 of 22, it says, "Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes." The donkey saw him, and the donkey is trying to get away from this angel that he sees with a sword. Well, you can go over and read the story, and he runs Balaam up over and against a wall, runs his foot up against a stone wall and that stuff, which, see, things are getting really good for Balaam out here. You know, things are working out. And so it says, and the donkey talked to him. And so an angel appears and says, "Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me.'" Now this angel is speaking, it's directly for the Lord. He's saying, so this is like the Lord in first person talking here. The angel has not come along with his own message. He doesn't have, he's telling exactly what the Lord's saying. "Say, the donkey saw me, turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel, "Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." In other words, God told him not to go. And he didn't really, he's been doing his own thing, I think, for a long time. And now he's running, hold it, this God that I didn't know back here and I did, he's real. He's finding out. Hold it. See, he got over where this wasn't real to him anymore. See, we can do that in our covenant. We can get over where God's, you know, we can live so-called blessed life. And you get away where you're not sensitive toward the things of God. He got over, oh, God was standing, when God told me he was standing in my way, I just walked around him. And I'm going to go do this now. No, it's not a good thing to do. So he's got himself in trouble. Well, he goes, what does he do? Well, understand, he confesses his sin. I've sinned. That was a smart thing to do, you know. At least he didn't, you know, he didn't turn around and say, "Well, you said I could go." He knows now what he did. But, hey, he confessed it. You know, you think God is more forgiving today than he was then? God changes not. He confessed. He confessed his sin. And you know what? Now God's going to use him to speak blessing on Israel out through this thing. But he gets himself in more trouble because he does want a payday. The love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Ain't nothing matter with liking money. But don't get over where money's very, very important to you. Because it'll be a problem. It's number one. It's like people today. It's very common for people, and even Christians, will do wrong. They will do wrong and do things they shouldn't be doing because, well, you know, they told me to do this and this is my job and I have to listen to what they, knowing what they're doing is evil and wrong. But you know, you can't do that. If you can't defy doing wrong or evil just because, well, if I do, they'll fire me. I'll tell you what, they can get the firing going. Because if you turn around, see, people, for money, people will do all kinds of stuff. Money is hugely important in people's lives. Be very careful about that. After I got born again, I mean, when I worked at Reese's, I got into some things with my boss. I wanted to do something that was illegal to do, and I wouldn't do it. He said, "Well, you don't do it, you'll fire me." I said, "Yeah, you fire me. You can fire me, but I said, I ain't doing it. I said, it's wrong to do, and I won't do it. I ain't going to do it. So get the firing going on." So I said, you know. And I told him, and I said, "There's one thing you got to know. When you fire me, there's a government agency I'm going to go to, and they're going to have people living in this plant because of you." And I said, "You probably won't be able to get a job for the rest of your life." I said, "Nobody will want you." So I said, "Go ahead, get the firing going. Don't matter. I won't." So he decided that wasn't a good idea. See, I won't, you know, just like that. That was something illegal. It's wrong for me to do that. If I don't obey, the thing that being the government was not the fact government was trying to protect people. And he wasn't. He didn't care. And it's one thing, disobey my leaders, I disobey God, I sin. See, we need to get this stuff. People need to understand it. I can't go with that. I can't do illegal things. I can't go down here.
Amen.
Now, if they said, made a law and say I couldn't preach the gospel, that one I'll break. Because there's a higher law I have from God that I have to do. See, I always switch to the higher authority. You know, whoever is the higher authority. And God's the end of the line. Ain't nobody bigger than He is. Well, we go over here. He says, so he said he sinned. He says, now therefore, if it pleases you, I will turn back. If you want me to turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So he went along with them, and God is told, you'd only say what I say. That would be a good thing. Anybody, you know, what did God say? Only speak with God. It says, now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send to you calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? In other words, I ain't able to give you a lot of money. Come on. Man, we got the bucks. Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. See, he's conscious now that there's a big angel with a big sword. See, he sees it. Now, I want you to think about this. Like, people don't talk about all angels everywhere. Do you live like angels are around? Mm-hmm. See, living in a conscious... We read these things and they're trying to break to us. We should get revelation from these things, you know. You know, if angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation, where do they live? Detroit or something? And we got to try to get them here? They're all on Mars. And if we can land on Mars, my God, we can get the angels. They're around us. There's angels.
Amen.
They're ministering. They're sent to minister for us. Wouldn't you think they'd be around us if they're sent to minister for us?
Amen.
Sure. I mean, see, we live in, see, when this guy got over here, you need to understand, lots of times, angels, the word angel is messenger. It's the world messenger. So, their angels are messenger. Sometimes, you're going to hear from an angel. They're going to say what God's saying. You can have the Holy Spirit speak to you, and have angels speak to you. See, angels talk to people back then. Because we have this. Here an angel speaks to him, but we find most of the time it's God speaking to him. God's talking to him. It's not, but we find out, angels. This angel sitter. This angel's been hanging around this thing going on. He knows all what's going on in this thing. These are good revelations, if you understand. This is covenant stuff. This angel here dealing with this guy is about the protection of Israel. He's messing with an angel that belongs to somebody under a covenant. Not good. That's why I've learned all this. You read the Bible, it is never good to mess with covenant people, trying to take covenant people across, trying to do things. It never turns out well for people. Never. That's why you don't fear and worry. God knows how to settle debts. God knows how to fix things. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Amen.
I'll repay. I don't have to. God said, I'm going to fix it. You in trouble. He going to fix it. You know, we don't have to jump all over him and do things. God's going to straighten it out. Now, we go over here and look at Balaam again. This is in the 23rd chapter we want to look at here. Now, Balaam goes with this guy. They go through this thing of setting up offerings and altars and burning stuff and doing things. You know, this is what you do, because Balaam knows this. God wants to say something. So what he does is he offers sacrifices to God. See, this was part of, in other words, Balaam and them, they had some kind of covenant how they had to operate with God. They had to have some kind of thing, Balaam had. This is one thing you find. Israel had a greater covenant than he had with God. Just like, I wish the church would figure out we have a greater covenant than Israel got. I wish the church would absolutely figure. The church doesn't understand that. The church holds the covenant of Israel up as a special thing. The church is going to get glorified, get new bodies, and Israel's going to be down here living around for 1,000 years, running around down here, and that kind of stuff. They ain't going to be glorified bodies. They ain't going to be... There's really needs a renewed mind in the church about these things, of who we are. In 23, in verse 4, it says, "And God met Balaam, and he said to him, 'I have prepared the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram.' Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, 'Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak.' So he returned to him, and there was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab, and he took up his oracle and said, 'Balak, the king of Moab, has bought me from Aram, he said, from the mountains of the east. Now, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?'" So see, he's making a statement. See, anybody can go through that. But in other words, how are you going to curse these people? Or how are you going to denounce these people? God's blessed them. You're going to find a pattern we have here. I saw this happen when I came into the kingdom in 1980. I got born again. There got over into this excess stuff, was junk was going on. It was about generational curses and all kind of things they were saying about. I don't know if you guys have heard this stuff about these, you know, they would do these things about, well, generational curses down there. They say, well, people have this, a Christian would have these problems. Well, you had a family curse and that curse. They'd say, oh, talk all that nonsense. You're a Christian. You can't be cursed. You've been blessed by God. I don't care if my family was Adolf Hitler's, you know, best friends and running around. When I got saved, I'm out from under the curse. I'm blessed. I watch this stupid stuff, and they're trying to break the power of a generational curse, which the person don't belong to again. What did happen? Everybody gets devil conscious, curse conscious. You can curse me all you want. You could say anything to me about anything, and I'd laugh at you, because I'm blessed. You can call curses, but they ain't coming on me. Get over it. How can you curse whom God hasn't cursed? How can you denounce whom God has not denounced? See, get this in yourself. I will guarantee the move of God comes in any great way. I will guarantee you every move of God has this junk starts back up again. People get over in natural thinking and that stuff, you know, they see stuff going on and this is that and this is this and, you know, you have a generational curse. Well, you fall for it, the devil will eat your lunch. You know, go ahead, fall for it. Go around, talk the stupid stuff, join it, you know. And all kind of things they'd say, like, you know, you couldn't have a picture in your house that had an owl in it or something like that. Because those people were turning around and they were given their authority to, you know, see, witches are greater and all this kind of stuff, and they get into this nonsense. Well, everybody worries about witches and what they're doing. You ought to worry about Ed. Worry about the person who can believe God. People get into all this stuff, you know. It's like me, I ain't a holiday preacher. I ain't this thing here. I ain't worried about Easter bunnies and all that kind of stuff. I ain't worried about none of that stuff. I don't preach about those things. Why? They don't affect me. They affect everybody else. Wasting their time, worried about what people are doing. I don't preach the word, they'll overcome. They'll get somewhere. Just run around talking about the junk all the time and that stuff. Like it has power. And don't worry, they'll believe it more and more. You're preaching what you think is power. No, power is the word. Amen. That's the power. Not preaching about holiday, you know, worrying about Santa Claus and worrying about this, worrying about that. I don't care. My God. Christians that worry about all that stuff have 10 times the worst things going on and they don't even know it. Don't worry about that stuff. We preach. I'm called to preach the word. That's what we're called to do. We preach the word. They overcame them by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. Testifying what? God's greatness, God's glory. Hallelujah. People will go for what's big if you preach what's big. Preaching what everything is wrong ain't going to make nobody. Well, what's big? We don't know. We only know what's wrong. Hallelujah. Preach the answer. Well, it goes on in verse 9 here. It says, "For from the top of the rocks I see him." Now this is speaking to Israel. "I see him. And from the hills I behold him. There a people dwell alone, not wrecking itself among the nations." In other words, he's speaking by God. They're not like the other nations. They're not reckoned. They're not compared to the other nations. Oh, the church. Oh, the church. Everybody wants to be an American. It's the Constitution. It's all these things, no? Hallelujah. We're a nation of people. We need to reckon ourselves. He says, "Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his." So then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you've blessed them bountifully." So he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has spoken in my mouth?" Now here we have, this is God's opinion of Israel. See, do you know God's opinion of you? See, people can tell you to detail their problems and what's wrong with them. But they can't tell you to detail to what God said about them. This is God talking about his, these are the people he has a covenant with. He ain't speaking evil of them. See, you need to get a hold of this. This is a revelation. These kinds of words don't change from covenant to covenant. It's the same thing. God's speaking in line with the covenant. That's why our covenant has better words than the covenant here that Israel has. Now, we're going to jump over to Numbers 24. To the chapter 24. And we're going to start off at verse 1, because there's some things that went on between there that were said. But we jump over here on 24 and verse 1 says, "Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness." You see, sometimes he would use his gift. Now I'm just going to tell you this. See, we think, well, that there's strange things. I've seen ministers operate under gifts of the Holy Ghost and then operate under familiar spirits. Most people don't know the difference. See, people can yield to different things. Just because you don't think you can yield to a wrong spirit, wrong thing. So you need to learn it. It's number one, he's got himself in a trap, and this is where I've seen ministers, good ministers, go wrong and end up with major problems. Because they go to meetings, people, and sometimes it's the people's fault. They want him to perform. They want the performance. One time God used him. You know, you go to meetings, say, me, if God ain't speaking and he ain't tongues interpretation, he ain't speaking prophecy, I ain't saying, no, I'm going to do it. I just preach and teach the word. That's what I do. That's what you do. People don't like, they want to have some. They want to see gifts in operation. I want to tell you this. The teaching and preaching gift is a higher office than the other ones and all this stuff. People want to see things, not hear things. Faith don't come by seeing.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing. That's why there's a lot of faithless Christians, because they want to be entertained. They think gifts of the Spirit are entertainment for them. Give me this, give me that. I've learned this a long time. You get over in the areas of the Word, lots of times you don't need a special word from God. You'll get revelation from the Word. You'll know what to do. People are looking, they don't say they don't know the Bible, they're looking for somebody to tell them something. They're looking for somebody to give them the direction. I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to do it. And what happens, people will get pushing in an area and open up the service to familiar spirits to operate. The people do it. Because they want prophet, they want something to, they want a special thing for them. They want, I only want what God wants. And if God just gives them, you know, a message and go home, no, I want this or I want that, I want something else. See, I want, yeah, but what does God want you? See, we need to be very careful. We can set atmospheres where demonic powers, because here we have from him. So what does it say? Hey, he ain't going to yield over that. He knows how to yield to God. He knows how to yield over other spirits. Well, see, I came into the kingdom yielding over the spirits the other side. I could do the same thing again. Or I could just yield, I can yield over the Holy Ghost. You can go both ways. So you need to understand that. That's why, I'll tell you what, stay away from the things of using, wanting to manipulate people and do things like that. That's not our job to do. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the Son of God. It ain't led by you. My job isn't to direct people's lives. My job is to preach the Word, and if they don't listen, pay attention, too bad. My job, they ain't going around telling everybody what they ought to do. I don't care if I know what they ought to do. I don't say something not the majority of the time. I don't say, God don't tell me to go tell them. I don't go tell them. I don't care. Because you ain't going to help them doing that, because what you're going to be is a person they're going to run to. You tell me what to do, and I'll tell you what, it'll be a devil ministry. Don't go there. Don't go to that stuff. When God talks, talks, and when God ain't talking, don't talk. That's... That's the way to do it. Just teach and preach. I learned that early with Kenneth Hagin, because, you know, he taught us that. You know, there's a, if God's moving in a certain way, fine. But it is sometimes he just has you teach. See, we don't hold the teaching and preaching and things. We don't hold that in an office. We don't think that's a gift of the Spirit. You know, that's a gift to God in operation. We need to put that in its place that it is. If we held that in its place it is, I think we would have more operations of other gifts if people understood that. But many times people go and they want something. They're looking for a specific thing. You know, I want to, this guy's a prophet, so he's going to go in there and prophesy. You know what? The number one gift of a prophet is to preach or teach, or maybe both. That's the number one gift. It is not, the number one gift of a prophet is not foretelling the future. It is not. And you'll find out that will be one of the least of their ministry gifts. And if you understand that, Kenneth Hagin, Jesus Christ appeared to him and told him this. He said, your ministry as a prophet, he says, not like the Old Testament prophecy. He said, yours is to confirm to people what I've already showed them. A prophet can't speak to people who haven't listened to God themselves. Mm-hmm. And don't know what God said, how can he confirm to them? People want a gift to operate that can't operate for them because they ain't paid attention. He can't confirm in them what they ain't paid attention to. They've been running around waiting for somebody to tell them. And then, you know, well, somebody else, I'm telling you, I mean, you better make sure you heard from God. You know, I remember Brother Hay when I was a young Christian. He said, God called you the ministry. Don't you go in the ministry because your mama said God called you or a prophet laid hands on you. And that. He said, you better know God talked to you about it. He said, don't you go because you just feel inside God wants you. He said, you better hear from the Lord, because he said, when things get tough, you'll quit. Because he said, you better know that you know. I knew this. I know that I know. So I can't sit around and say, you know, I'll tell you, things get a little tough. I'm going to go do something else because I know that I know. This is why that's why majority of ministers drop out of the ministry after a short period of time, because they haven't got confirmed within themselves. See, you know, it's just like, you know, Balaam here, you know, the angel showing up, he finally got the idea, you know. You better hear something. And it's not mama, and it's not somebody else, it's not this person or that person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to know when you. It's just like being saved. We have the witness of the Spirit. We're born again. Anybody can tell you you're born again and all this kind of stuff. Oh, you're a Christian. That's not a witness. You better know by the Holy Ghost. See, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. And you know how I know? Because I know in here. I know by the God that lives in me is in. You know, I know, and number one, I know, and the Word verifies it. I don't need to talk to anybody else and somebody else to, you know, to get encourage me that, oh yeah, you're all right, you're going to heaven. You know, I don't need that.
Amen.
I got the real deal.
Amen.
The person telling you that might need more help than you do. Hallelujah. Well, in 24, we're going to get 119. So, Balaam found out this was a good thing. And, so, it says, and Balaam, in verse 2, Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel. Well, so, he said he saw Israel. In other words, he's looking, they're up on a raised spot and they're looking, he saw Israel encamped, according to their tribes. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes, with wide eyes open. He said, how lovely are your tents. Now this is God. In other words, God's speaking through him and God's putting these words out. This is, here's God looking at Israel down here. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob. Your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloe plants by the Lord, like cedars beside the water. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strengthened like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. Now look at this. This is Israel before they're going into the land. Now, they have been just wonderful believing people across there, haven't they? They've been out there for over 40 years. And why? Because of great obedience. Understand, this is God's covenant people. This is how he speaks about them. God's talking like they're going to go there and do his will. He's talking like these people. The covenant. See, he's in covenant with them. He's on their side. See, people seem to don't understand that. I'm in covenant with God. That means he's on my side. He's on my side, whether good or bad. He's on my side.
Amen.
See, this is what I've always learned about this. No matter how I mess up, I repent. Tell God, God's always, he's always trying to turn me around if I mess up. He's always, why? We're in covenant. We're in covenant. And see, people don't understand this. That's why you can't use contract ideas, because you say, contract, it's not like this. You mess up under a contract, they ain't on your side. You'll find out. Now, listen to what he said. Verse 9, he bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. This is covenant talk. I'm going to tell you, blessed is anyone who blesses God's people, the church. And I'm going to tell you what, the ones that don't, they in trouble. This is covenant. You see, God has blessed. See, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're blessed. See, this is what we need to understand, this thing about covenant, our position with God. We look at this thing. This is God talking about covenant people. These covenant people are blessed. It's in our covenants the same way. Mm-hmm. Get your thinking straightened out on this. God is always on your side. You know, I say people, well, you know, they ask, is God on your side? Well, he is on our side. But one thing, get on his side. See, many people, times Christian. Now, I want you to understand this, because I want to read something from the book of Revelation here about, and it mentions about here with concerning Balaam. Because you need to get a hold of this. God, nobody can curse you or bring a curse on and cause things to go bad for you because of what they say and do. They can't. You need to understand this. You're in the covenant because I want you to see this. Balaam did something and he ended up a traitor. In fact, Israel ended up killing. Israel attacked Moab later on and that stuff. And he went in and the Bible goes on and Balaam is one of them they killed. Balaam did something. Balaam understood this. Because why? Israel's blessed. How are you going to get to Israel? See, he wants a payday. Now, he has said everything God said, but now he wants a payday. Now, listen to this from Revelation, the second chapter, in verse 14. Revelation, the second chapter, 14, it says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who thought Balak, he taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality." You know what he did? If you go over and read the story of what happened after this with Israel. See, Balak and them, they couldn't defeat Israel. They can't curse. You know, God ain't gonna, they can't curse and defeat Israel. No matter what they say, it doesn't matter. Where's the defeat come from? They gotta get Israel to do it to themselves. The defeat came from Israel. So what did he tell them to do? Well, they came out there. They're sitting across there. They have come to the place where they're across from Jericho, but they're sitting there and they do this. They open the door to the thing. The Moabites invite their men out to feast and that stuff. And they go out and they eat and they end up having sex with these women. See, we're going to be your friends. We're going to come out. See, it's just like, the devil could not curse Adam. He had to get Adam to disobey. See, you need to understand about it. The devil can't get to you unless you invite him.
That's right. Amen.
See, Christians, you know, sometimes the devil, people unconsciously do it because they're not understanding covenant. You know, the devil has gotten away with loads of stuff with the church world because, you know, we just thought, well, you know, we're hearing stuff happens and that stuff, and we don't realize. And doing things, in other words, open the door. They had to do something. He realized this. God's blessed these people. And if anything bad's going to happen to them, they're going to have to do it themselves. They're going to have to open the door for this. They can't. This is not going to happen because God's here. Why? God's going to stick with His covenant, His side of the covenant. He's going to stay with this. If they break it, and see, all through Scripture you find this. Israel breaks covenant with God and bad things happen to them. Until that happens, the devil can't do things. He can't at random just go do stuff. If he could, he'd have killed us a long time ago. But he can't do that. So you got to get this. And this is the whole thing about this if you read this story. In other words, you got to get Israel. He understood this when he went through this thing with God. You can't get to these people unless they allow you to. And God ain't going to be the one making it happen. He's not going to do it. What did he say about them? All these people are wonderful. This is good. They're a blessing. You know, he said, how'd they end up in trouble? What they did. They were tempted to something that they knew was sin. Just like with Balaam. Balaam found out him going out there, you know, covenant, you know, God showed up, you know. You say what I say or you're a dead man. Okay, well, let's get over. Let's change what we're doing here. What do you think? You know, let's head into doing something else. And it's this is what people, you know, when people talk about God in control, this is why they teach this stuff, because the church don't understand these things. If people had revelation on these things, they'd have seen it. See, this is what God spoke about these people, what they were. But you know what? Balaam could, see, he said, I can't curse them. He said, why? These are blessed people. You can't curse the blessed. You can't do that. It don't work. They're blessed. God bless. Are you going to curse him? God's blessed. Ain't going to work. See, I tell the story, I said, out back in 2009, in February 2009, I was at Rhema, and they were having, it was Winter Bible Seminar there, it was in February. And anyhow, I'm standing out in the lobby, they're at the church, they have a real huge lobby. I'm standing in the lobby, I'm waiting for a friend to come, and we're going to go in and sit together, and I'm waiting for him to come. There's two women standing there, spirit-filled women. And you think, when I heard them talk, you wonder what spirit they're full of. You know, the woman says, I heard when they turn around and they're going to lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, witches, they pray. And they pray, and when they lay hands on them, they get another spirit. Well, now the Bible speaks completely different than that. The Bible tells you, you know, if you ask God for the Holy Ghost, he's going to give you a stone, he's going to give you a... They said, but they're saying, why? This crazy stuff. They don't know who they are. The church is blessed. They say, no, we're not blessed. The witches, they'll pray. See, I watched this stuff over time. I watched, you know, and I said this before in Lebanon, back when I first got saved, and all these Christians worried, wringing their hands because witchcraft going on in Lebanon, and there was an altar found up at Coleman's Park, and they're all ringing. It's like, who gives a rip? I'm a baby Christian, got better sense. You know, one of the reasons I got saved, I messed around over in that other kingdom. I knew the one I was in was the biggie. Christian, they found that out. We're blessed. The church should laugh when we found that out. Oh my God. Them poor people doing that don't know how dumb. Instead of feeling, you know, we need to get there and have a prayer meeting and pray for those poor people. No, my God, the devil's saying we need to pray in it. Go ahead, pray in your fear and see what it should do. You'll open the door to more demons than you ever thought were around. My God, we cast out devils and the church takes them in. See, when people don't know who and what they are, they didn't realize. See, they opened the door to demonic powers when they got over in the areas of fear and worry about this, talking about it. They didn't talk about who they were. You know, they actually were no different than the Israelites out there and those women coming over and having sex with them. Well, it ain't no different. You're breaking the covenant either way, so, you know. You're opening the door to the devil doing stuff. At least most people would have the nerve, they would know to repent after doing something like that, but they still think they're religious if they prayed concerning things of the devil when the devil wasn't doing nothing, you know. They wouldn't repent of that evil. They think it's good. Boy, we did a good job, you know. But see, they worried about that kind of stuff. And see, this is one thing, is we need to get ourselves and our thinking right about how God operates. He's on your side all the time. He doesn't change. We have a covenant, and you know, it's a covenant that's based on better promises. And God is not a covenant breaker. Amen. The devil just can't get at you any time that he wants. As we understand, people turn around, make mistakes, and do things. I remember Fred Price talking about his wife. She came down with liver cancer, and she was... things weren't changing, And he just got praying and, you know, got over doing some good reasoning from Scripture. And he come down to the attack and he said this. He said, now I know this, the devil can't just attack you anytime he wants to. If he could, he'd have us all the time. I mean, that'd be it. If he could. He can't just do that. We need to understand that, you know. We live in a world, we rub up on things, but lots of times what people, if something starts to happen, people just accept it. So the devil gets to do more. We accept it. Well, you don't. And he said, I finally came to this understanding that the devil just can't at any time do this. He said, there's a reason this is going on and we have to find out what this reason is. This is what people usually don't. They don't use any good reasoning. They'll just keep beating the same dirt path. Because he said, we've been standing in faith and we know how to use faith, but nothing changing. You know, people don't learn this lesson. They stand in faith for 5 years confessing and ain't nothing ever changes. And just, you know, why? Because, you know, faith will produce something. It'll start to change things. But anyhow, finally, he got around to it and they got praying. Finally, they got praying the right direction. Number one, many people, this is where most people, and I'm going to tell you, where your faith messes up, because you think you're in faith with the Word and you're not. You're trying to get God to send something, and that it is, that's not the problem. We're the receiver, we're not the sender. See, we're trying to get God already sent His Word and healed us.
Amen. That's right.
You're not trying to get God to send you healing. See, we're like a radio station sitting on top of a mountain there, and they got a big antenna up there, and it sending out all the time. We're the radios. We're the receivers.
Amen.
You know, if you quit receiving, eventually you ought to figure out, we ought to check, what if it isn't the sender stopped? Well, see, with us, the sender never stops. What's wrong with the receiver? Do you understand it?
Yes, sir.
See, we got this whole thing backwards about faith stuff. It's about the receiver. Well, what's wrong with the receiving side? See, they found out. See, they're over here messing up. They don't realize it. But see, you can do things wrong by sin, but you can do natural things in this earth that hurt you, and you can keep standing in faith, and it'll never change till you find out what you're doing that's hurting you. His wife came along and found out this. The Lord first said to her, to him, and spoke to him, said, you have a doctor in your church, and he's a cancer doctor. And he said, you go to him, and you do everything he tells you. You do it. Well, she went to him, and that stuff, and well, he told her, you know, they put her through chemotherapy and stuff. She didn't want that, but she heard the Lord said, you do that. Well, she had to use her faith to go through that stuff. You know, the Lord said, do it. But this is what she found out. Here she found out she was messing up in her life. See, something had to be changed. God wasn't giving bad information. God didn't do anything. It was from her standpoint, her side. She's doing something natural. She never drank water. She only ever drank coffee. That was the only thing she ever drank. She never drank any other liquid, only coffee. She had certain foods she ate that were cooked and that stuff, and things were made certain way. And that's all. She had a lousy diet is what it is. She had a terrible diet. She had this. And the doctor told her, he said, your liver's toxic. What you've done to it. And he said, you're going to have to change your diet. Well, because number one, she has liver cancer. But you know what? God said, go ahead, go the direction. She ended up getting completely healed. But she found out she had to change. Fred said this, and I have him on a video on that. Fred said to him, he said, if God would have healed her, he said, in a period of time, she would have been back with the same problem again. See, sometimes there's natural things. You know, you know, if you ain't good with a hammer and you hit your thumb all the time, put the hammer down. If you ain't smart enough to use it, why beat up your fingers? You know, you ask God to heal him, but you get the hammer back. What did you ain't good to heal him? You're going to just smack it again. You have to learn. It's natural things. Not everything is a big spiritual thing. You can do natural things that hurt you. Now, you don't live around in your life and everything and worry about every little thing out here. But like, she was just doing something very toxic to herself and that kind of stuff. You know, she got away with that for a lot of years. She got away with it for a lot of years. But you know what? It's like people today. I watch people today. And you know what? Terrible diets, and they're young, and you get past it. But man, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to show up as you get older. You may have what you wish you wouldn't have. Oh, yeah. People need to be careful about this stuff. You know, I know the thing with kids today and not wanting to eat. I know. I tell my grandson, say, you know, you go through now, but I tell you what, you better change about your eating, because I tell you, when you get older, you're going to find out. Why? There's things you can't do to your life, and it isn't going to turn out. You can just can't. There's things in natural laws that you can't disobey, you know. Don't go up on a steep roof if you don't have a harness on. It's a good idea. There's a lot of dead people would tell you that. That's a good idea. You know, God's given His angels charge over me. And they said that right before they buried Him. There's a lot of dead Christians who did. You know, Kenneth Hagin would tell this story. This is a good one. He said, these people, they worked for a ministry, and this ministry had a big compound, and the people that worked there for that ministry, they had a house, and they had a big pool there. And they had a little kid about 2 years old running around out there. And people told him, you need to put some fence around that pool, that little kid out there. Ah, we put our angels around and they'll protect you. You don't protect him. And the day they said that to him, when they told him, that same day that kid fell in the pool and drowned.
Oh, God.
If you can use faith to take care of everything like that, out here and that stuff, well, I mean, you know, drive yourself a car that you're, you know, down here and don't worry about whether it's good and has good brakes or nothing. You'll just be taken care of. Just don't worry about it. He made this statement. He said, isn't it amazing? He said, how many few people the devil can kill in car accidents since we have seatbelts. You see, God gave us wisdom. And wisdom isn't turning around and trying to get somebody else or something. You know, in a way, that's sort of a type of socialism. We want to use God in that way. God put you in this earth and you're in charge here. Act like you're running the show. Take care of yourself. Don't do stupid. You know? It's like, you know, you watch, feel like, you know, you learn over time. And a person gets out and you're trying to sit down, have a screwdriver in your hand, you're digging at something, it's right towards your hand. See, I learned a long time ago, I don't do that stuff. You know, after a couple of times in the hand, I learned. I see some people, they never learn. They'll stick their hand 47 times and they'll go back and do it again. You know, it's just like, well, I'm not using wisdom. They ain't got no wisdom. You know, praying for God to heal your hand, and God said, oh man, what a stupid idiot. You know, there's things you don't do.
Amen.
You know, we're living in an earth, and people need to understand these things. For safety-wise. Safety concerning your children, you know. You know, you don't leave the rat poison sit out in the living room for the kids, do you? Well, no, if you're a big faith person, well, go ahead and do it. Go ahead, use your faith. You know, put it out in a dish for them. See, oh, they won't eat it. No, I'm believing God. And all the angels are going, Lord, did you see what those idiots are doing down there? And Jesus is saying, I love them, but they're stupid. I love them. I love them. It's good teaching. But you see, we're dealing with, you know what? And it's not God. You know, people say, you know, the Lord took somebody. The Lord ain't taking people.
That's right.
Death ain't from the Lord.
That's right.
Heaven don't have no death. See, we need to watch, because if we don't understand covenant, in which the church doesn't generally, all these dumb sayings come out. All these things we push over on God, but we look at covenant. Man, God's powerful in covenant. He's powerful. In covenant. That's one thing I admire him. I mean, there's nothing like him.
Amen.
There's that little book that Kenneth Hagin put out, Don't Blame God. That revelation is little known in the church world. Because, see, it's not important. It's just a little book. You know, I want to read the big book, you know, the one that has all that fantastic stuff said in it that never happens to us. I want that one. No, I'd say just get yourself over the fact that God is always working for you. That's the covenant. He never breaks covenant. He doesn't do that. As the Bible talks about, that a person who breaks covenant is worthy of death. See, breaking covenant means this: bad things happen. But it isn't from the person. It's, we need to understand, God, it's our side. We open door to the enemy he's protected us from. And we open it up. This is why it's getting around to, just to use good wisdom. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord God, for giving wisdom and understanding. Lord God, I thank you that these things are not hidden from us in the Word. They're hidden for us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you that you're revealing these things and giving us understanding, Father. I want to thank you, Lord, we can always look to you for help. You're always gracious. You're always kind. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, in our lives, there's many things that we haven't had your best in, but it's never been your fault. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes it's lack of understanding on our part. We need to learn more. Lord, sometimes it's just our disobedience. We know what to do and don't do it. And Father, I just want to thank you, but you never quit loving us. Hallelujah. We're under the covenant. We just want to thank you. Father, I want to thank you that you gave us a book with loads of gracious words that you spoke concerning us. And I want to, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. That Lord, in them, we can see your greatness and your love and your kindness toward us. And Lord God, showing us that you have made a covenant that is so glorious, that is so wonderful. Lord God, there's nobody has anything close to it. And I just want to say thank you. It's an eternal covenant and we can count on it forever. In Jesus' name, amen.